Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be taking off on a passage of scripture that we looked at last week from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. And in that passage of scripture, Nehemiah is beginning to build the walls with his brethren from Jerusalem, and they're starting to build the walls of Jerusalem and put the stones back in place and put the gates in the walls. And of course, the enemy, as we talked last week, the enemy is very determined to come against them. The enemy is very determined to destroy and to keep them from succeeding in the task that God has given Nehemiah to do. And so we're going to look at this scripture, verse 17, chapter 4. It says, "Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon." And so this is a picture of our warfare in our daily life. We're trying to build for the kingdom. We're trying to do great and mighty things in our life for the kingdom of God and for our families, for our children, for our homes, for our communities, for this nation. And yet we know that the devil is going to come against us in every way that he can. He's going to try to destroy you. Many of you have a testimony of how the devil has already attempted to destroy you, and in some ways he already has succeeded. And yet we know that God is able to strengthen us. God is able to propel us, to move us forward into a higher place. God is able to give us a charge and give us a destiny and a calling, and then provide for us, just as he did with Nehemiah, provide for us the provision that it will be necessary to complete the task and to complete the calling that he has placed upon our life. And so I'm speaking to people out there today. Some of you are baby Christians and you don't know the attacks of the enemy against your life because you haven't really committed that much to the kingdom yet. Well, let me assure you, when you do commit to giving to the kingdom, to building for the kingdom, you're going to get a lot of attacks from the enemy. The enemy is going to come against you. He's going to try to drag you back into your old life. He's going to come and tempt you and try to bring you down with temptations, maybe drugs or alcohol or sexual immorality, things that have been pervasive in your old life. He's going to come to you and tempt you with those things. For those of you who are mature believers, he's going to try to get you to be placid. He's going to try to get you to be lethargic and procrastinate the things that he's called you to do, to the point where you won't move forward, to the point where you're satisfied with the status quo. And so I want to encourage you today with this passage of scripture and just let you know that even though the enemy is going to come against you, even though the enemy will do everything in his power to derail you, to discourage you, to depress you, to get you to lash out at other people in your life, other believers, your family, your friends, I can tell you that the tools that God has given us to fight back, the tools that God has given us to destroy the enemy of our life, those tools are sufficient for you to move forward. Those tools are sufficient. If you will put them to use, they are sufficient to move forward in your life, to destroy the enemy so that the enemy doesn't have strongholds in your life. He doesn't have chains upon you, and you can move forward. You can move forward in victory. You can move forward because you are a conqueror, because Jesus Christ is our leader. He is our captain of our army, and he is also a conqueror. He is a victor. And so when we align ourselves with Jesus, we also are going to be victorious in our life. Well, the weapons of our warfare I'm going to list, going to be a great teaching and one that you're going to want to remember. The weapons of our warfare, first of all, and I'll go back and talk about each one of these individually and with more detail here in just a minute. The first one is prayer. The second one is fasting. The third one is reading and memorizing God's word. The fourth is the fellowship of the saints. The fifth is praise and worship. The sixth is service in the kingdom. And the seventh, putting on the gospel armor, which that will be another message at another day and another time, of the gospel armor spoken about in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 12. And so there's seven different weapons of our warfare. Beloved, we have the weapons necessary to take on the enemy. The enemy is a defeated foe, and you have to remind him of that each and every time when you get ready to take him on. You have to remind him that he was defeated at the cross. He was defeated at the whipping post. He was defeated in the tomb when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He was defeated when the apostles and disciples were given the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All these different ways the enemy has been defeated. Yes, he is the ruler of this world. Jesus has given the enemy the authority to rule and reign over this world for this present time and for this present season. But when you align yourself with Jesus Christ, when you take on the battle cry of the kingdom of God and you become aligned with Jesus Christ as a follower of him, as a person who has accepted him, as a person who has received Jesus into your heart, the gift of the Holy Spirit then becomes yours. God, the power of God, then becomes to live in you. The power of God then is accessible to you, and the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the advocacy of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And so all these things then are available to you as a child of God. And it is sufficient for you to move forward in victory. It is sufficient for you to be a child of God and to take your place in the victorious parade as we walk with the Lord against the enemy of our soul. Well, first of all, let's look at these one at a time, these seven weapons of our warfare. The first, and I believe the most important, is prayer. Prayer is your communication with God. It is your positioning yourself before God. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord." And the God of peace then will comfort you. The God of peace will enable you to move forward without anxiety, without fear. God wants you to move forward with boldness, with confidence, to come boldly before him, and also to come boldly before your enemies, and he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And so you position yourself before God, you position yourself with God, with prayer, as prayer becomes your line of communication with God. Well, Paul says also in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. He means for you to be in an attitude of prayer day and night, and as you're driving down the road, as you're working, and there's times when you are not speaking to people and you don't have anything going on that would distract you, and so you spend that time in prayer. You just be talking with God, you thank God, you praise him, you ask him for requests in your life, you ask him for provision for your life, for blessings for your family, your children, your wife, your job, all these things, and you pray without ceasing. And that is the hallmark of a Christian. It's also our privilege as a Christian to continue to present our requests to the Lord, to present our praises to the Lord, to present our every need that we have, every need that we have in our life, every desire we have in the deepest part of our life, to present that to the Lord and to thank the Lord, to give him praise, honor, and glory that he is due. And so that is the hallmark of a Christian, to be praying all the time. 2 Chronicles 7:14 regarding prayer. If my people who are called by my name, this is a response to Solomon's prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. This is in response to the prayer that Solomon prayed when he became king of Israel, and he is crying out to the Lord in behalf of his people, and he's saying, God, we humble ourselves before you, we repent of our sins, we repent of the sins of the ancestors and those who have gone before us, and we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we ask you to heal our land. And certainly we need this in America today. We need healing of our land. We need people to come together and do the best that they can for the sake of this country, do the best that they can for the sake of people who need to be lifted out of poverty, who need to be lifted out of strife and neighborhoods where there's lots of carnage and lots of criminal activity. We need lots of healing in America between the races. We need lots of healing between people with lots of money and people with no money. There are many, many ways that we need healing here in America. And God is able to heal if we just forget about our differences and we set our differences aside and we start to work together for the common good of the people here in America. Well, as you look through the Bible and you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament especially, people who prayed got answers from God. People who prayed received responses from God. God always honors our prayers. He doesn't always answer in the way exactly that we would like, but He always hears our prayers, and the response may come down the road, the answer may come down the road, but I can guarantee you, beloved, when you spend time in prayer, when you give God the best of your day each and every day in prayer, that He will bless you, He will honor you, and you will see good things start to happen in your life. You'll see good things happen in your family, in your neighborhood, and in other countries. I've been blessed to be able to pray in many countries, and I've seen God move in these countries. I've seen God improve the lot of the people in these countries. I've seen God change hearts, change minds, even to change religions from pagan religions, witchcraft, Islam, other religions that don't know Jesus Christ. I've seen God bring people to a knowledge of Him, a saving grace and a knowledge of Him through the prayers of myself and people who prayed for these people. And so I urge you each and every day to get alone with God, to spend time on your knees. Maybe before you go to bed, spend time on your knees in your secret place, or when you get up in the morning, if you have time, spend some time with the Lord in prayer and pray for your family. It's okay to pray for your needs, for provision, for God to put money into your hand. It's okay to ask the Lord to bless your prosperity, bless your bank account, for you to ask God to bless your job, bless your vocation. Maybe you want to move into ministry. Ask God to open up doors for you so that you can move into ministry. Many different things God wants to provide for us. Many different things. God wants to see us be blessed. He wants to see us go higher in the kingdom. He wants to see us go higher in taking the Great Commission to all the world and to all the nations of the world. And so as you pray, you present yourself to God, you present yourself in position before God, and you humbly ask Him to give you the things that you are asking Him for. Well, the second weapon of our warfare is fasting, and this goes together with prayer. Many times, people at the first part of the year, maybe the first month of the year, they spend time in prayer and fasting, maybe just a Daniel fast where you eliminate meats and sweets, or maybe a more intense fast where you go on a water fast only, or maybe a very intense fast, no food, no water for a day or two or three. There are many different types of fasts, but when you sacrifice and you give up for the Lord and you set aside that which is very important to you, that which is very pleasurable for you. We all love to eat. We all love to have lots of food in our tummy each and every day. And when you set that aside and you say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to ask you to give me mercy. And supplication is a plea for mercy. And when you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to present my request to you and I'm going to do it and I'm going to show you sincerity, I'm going to show you sacrifice, and I'm going to lay aside that which is important to me and deny the pleasures of the flesh, and I'm going to then throw myself upon your mercy and lay at your feet, Jesus, and here are my prayers. And when you do that in prayer and fasting, then the Lord is even more moved. His hand is moved. You're not trying to extract something from Him. You're not trying to manipulate Him, but God sees your sacrifice. He knows your heart, and when you are sincere, He will answer you in like way. Isaiah 58 is the fasting chapter. I encourage you all to read that. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring to your house the poor who are cast out, and when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. And verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go forth before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." And so the glory of the Lord is your rear guard when you're fasting, and you cry out to the Lord, you call out to him, and you say, "Lord, where are you? Lord, I want to hear from you." And at verse 9, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" When you think about the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew, the fourth chapter of Matthew, what did he do? When he went into the wilderness, he fasted and he prayed for 40 days because he knew that the enemy was going to come against him. He knew that he was going to be taking on not only the enemy of his own soul, but the enemy of the souls of all mankind. And so he fasted and he prayed for 40 days, and he was preparing himself for the attack from the enemy, which came after the 40 days of fasting. And Jesus, three different times, the enemy came to him, attacked him, tried to dissuade him and persuade him against his ministry, against his calling, and Jesus answered him each and every time, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And so he quoted scripture back to the devil, and Jesus then from there went and became the greatest, most influential person ever to walk on this earth. He became the greatest influencer of all mankind, every corner of the earth, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And even to this day, there's no person who has ever lived on the earth that comes close to having the impact that Jesus Christ has had on every nation and every tongue on this earth. So I pray that you would spend time in fasting and prayer. Prepare yourself to go higher. Prepare yourself to minister. Prepare yourself to defeat the enemy of your life, and don't let the enemy continue to run roughshod over your broken down walls and your gates that have been burned with fire. Make a stand, take a stand, and say, "Enemy, you are finished, and by the grace of God, by the power of God, I'm going to defeat you in my life." Well, the third weapon of our warfare is reading and memorizing God's Word. God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6. It is the sword of the Spirit that we pierce the enemy with, that we defeat the enemy with. And so you have to know God's Word. If you don't read God's Word, I suggest you do that. Get on a reading schedule. Get yourself a good translation of the Bible that is easily read. I personally read the New King James, which is very easy to read. Anybody with a fifth grade education can read it and comprehend it very easily. The New King James, the New American Standard, the NIV, the English Standard Version, many different translations, very easy to comprehend. And I would suggest you get on a reading plan and every single day read God's Word. Even if you only read a verse or two or one chapter a day, that would be sufficient. You'll get through the Bible in a year, and eventually you'll come to know God's Word. You'll have it hidden in your heart, and it will become part of you, and you can use it as a sword against the enemy. Psalm 119:105 tells us this: "The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Beloved, you need a light for your path. You need a lamp unto your feet when you're out there in the darkness stumbling around and you don't know which way to go. You need something to light your path, and that is what the Word of God does. It lights, it illuminates in the darkness to where the enemy can't confuse us and the enemy can't cause us to stumble and go off the cliff or down into the ditch or get stuck in the mud. Psalm 119:165, David says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Psalm 119:162, "I rejoice at your word, O God, as one who finds great treasure." Psalm 119:133, "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119:40, "Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." Well, beloved, if you can get to the point where you say your servant loves to read your word, your servant loves to memorize your word, your servant loves to hide your word in my heart, when you get to that point, when you understand the value of God's word to destroy the enemy in your life, to light your path, to give you the tool that you need to pierce the heart of the enemy, when you understand that, then you will look forward each and every day to studying God's Word. It will not be a burden to you. It will not be a legalistic chore for you. You will just look forward to it because you know that it is something that is going to build you up. It is something that is going to encourage you. It is something that is going to light your path, and you will be better off for it when you read God's Word each and every day. I encourage you to get a reading program going. Maybe just read from the front to the back all the way through, just like a storybook, or you can pick out certain books to read, first from the Old Testament, maybe the New Testament. If you've never read the Bible before, I suggest you start out with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe go into the book of Acts, and then the Psalms also are very easy to read. Psalms and Proverbs, very easy to read, very easy to comprehend. I think every single person should read the Psalms and Proverbs every year. Also, the book of Genesis, very easy to understand. And so if you'll just pick up and read those parts that are easy to digest and easy to comprehend, then the parts that are more difficult and seem more tedious, then they will come easier to you. Well, the fourth weapon of our warfare that I think is very important is the fellowship of the saints. It is very important that you get in a Bible-believing church. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And so Paul, who wrote the book of Hebrews, is encouraging us to get in the fellowship, to stay in the fellowship, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, and to be able to pray for each other, to hold each other accountable. There's so many positive aspects to being in the fellowship. It's not the same when you're just listening to preachers on the radio. It's not the same as watching preachers on the TV. You need face-to-face encouragement. You need face-to-face accountability and prayer. Sometimes people need to lay hands on you and pray for you if you're sick. And all of these things can only happen when you're an active member and a participant in the fellowship. Well, the fellowship also was a hallmark of the early church. Acts 2:42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And so when the new believers got baptized with the Holy Spirit, when the new believers became part of the Christian way or the Christian fellowship, the body of Christ in that early day there in Jerusalem, it says that they assembled together, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is in sound teaching and doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, that is communion services and communion fellowship, and in prayers. They got together to pray, they got together to break bread and have communion, they got together to encourage each other in good doctrine and just enjoy each other's fellowship. And so those are four reasons right there to be in a fellowship, and they're still valid today, they're still very important today, and so I encourage you to be in the fellowship each and every Sunday. Find yourself a good Bible-believing church, one that preaches out of the Bible and teaches out of the Bible, and become a part of it, become an active participant, and God will move you forward then in your walk and in your Christian life. He will move you forward as part of an active participant in the body of Christ. Well, we're going to take up the other parts of the spiritual warfare, the weapons of our warfare, next week, and then also look at the defensive, the parts of the body armor, the gospel armor that we put on our body for defensive purposes. And so we'll take that up next week, and so you won't want to miss that message. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite each and every one of you to support this ministry, to help us to pay for this radio airtime, also for the other projects we have going, the orphanage project in Africa, the sponsorship of children in the New Hope preschool, and also the preaching crusades that I'm starting to line up for the year 2017 in Tanzania and Burundi and other places in Africa. And so if you want to be a part of that, I pray that you would sit down, pray about your part, let us know you want to participate, let us know you want to help, and then put your good intentions to work by writing out a check to Gather the Outcast Ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.